Now, employment in Ireland is at a record high. We're scoring extremely high on the World Happiness Index. Apparently, we're 14th best country in the world to live in terms of our happiness. And Ireland seems to be doing generally well. But my next guest reckons a lot of us aren't quite realising how good we have it at the moment in Ireland. And I'm joined by Cormac Lucy, columnist with The Times and The Sunday Times, to talk to me about his article, which I had a really good headline, "Stop Moaning Ireland, You've Never Had It So Good." Cormac, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Ciara.
Do you think we're a nation of moaners?
I don't really. I think that the headline may have slightly exaggerated the point, but I think Ireland, we've never had it so good in this country. And I don't think we really recognise that. We don't stop and think of just how tough our forefathers, foremothers had it. We don't think how tough people have it in other countries. And by implication, we don't reflect on just how good things are in Ireland.
If you, and I'm pretty sure what will come in the text now is people talking about our failing health service, the number of people living in emergency accommodation, the homeless on the street. Is Ireland an Ireland of two halves, the haves and the have-nots?
I think you can argue that. But if we look at the most important health index of all, life expectancy, Ireland has made huge progress in that area in recent decades. And talk about the health system, it's not really a health system. It's a sickness system. It's a system we go to when something is wrong. And focus on that allows us overlook the fact that for most people on health, things have been going fantastically right. And also that for most people, if they do suffer a serious illness, once they get into the health system, they're treated very well. And, you know, life expectancy for men has risen by over 6 years in the last 20 years, and for women, just under 5 years. And that's far more important than sort of spurious trolley counts that are sort of brought up. And by the way, brought up by the INMO, they don't bring up the nurse vaccine count. You know, there are a lot of nurses who do not have vaccines and they focus on the area. The trolley count is really part of a campaign to boost nurses' incomes. I don't mind that. They're free to do that. But let's not pretend that when they come up with the trolley count, that is purely for altruistic motives.
I would take certain exception to what you're saying, Cormac, so far as that we hit over 700 this week, 714 people on trolleys. That's a whole hospital that we're short in the country. And when you think about the number of hospitals in the country, that's still a proportionally high number. But let's just see what people on the streets in Dublin today think about whether or not we have it so good.
It's terrible. We're meant to be the 14th happiest nation in the world. So do you know what? That's not right.
So we're not. You don't think we moan about things?
Oh, maybe a little bit. But at the end of the day, we laugh a lot as well.
No, not really, no. Depends where you are in the social scale of things, aren't really. If you're down the bottom, you'll always stay down the bottom, so that's just the way it is.
Well, my initial thought was I was going to say that I think it came out that Dublin's like the most expensive country, one of the most expensive countries to live in now, even above London. So I guess that even though there is economic development, it's more expensive. So we will always find something to complain about. If it's not the weather, it's going to be something.
No, definitely not. I'd say quite a fun country, laid back.
Fashionable to be moaning in Ireland, isn't it? And we have it good again. Life is good. Life for me is really good, thank God.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the time of the day you get us as well. Like, I think you're probably right in what you say. I think we moan about anything. The weather, we moan if it's good, we moan if it's bad. If it's too sunny, it's too cold.
The current controversy at the moment about Leo Varadkar and making the phone call to Donald Trump on his behalf. That's typical of Ireland giving out.
I've not been here properly before. I went out in Wales and woke up in Ireland, but other than that, all the Irish people I've met have been fab and happy.
Okay, so it depends on the time of the day, Cormac, whether or not we have it good or not. Lots of people getting involved in the text line too. Someone says about what you've just said, Cormac, this argument is totally bogus. We've never had it so good is true, but that was always true at any point in human history. What do you make of that argument there, that we're constantly improving?
Well, we're generally improving, but if people in Ireland did not have it better during the Great Famine than they had it 20 years earlier. So there have been occasions when we've gone backwards. We went backwards in the global financial crisis. You know, it isn't necessarily ever upwards. it's generally ever upwards, and it's great that it is. And that's why we live standards of living that our great grandparents couldn't actually have dreamed of.
And is that what it actually is? Is that we have become blind to how good we have it because we have a sense of entitlement around it, or a sense of expectation that things will keep continuing to get better? Like my own grandparents would have, on my father's side, would have grown up in a 7 kids in a 2-bedroom house, you know, on my mother's side, something similar, little tiny 2-bed cottage in Ringsend. I live in quite a nice house compared to where my grandparents came from. So is it that we have become kind of fat-cattedly entitled about living the good life, and if anything goes wrong, we just moan about it?
Well, I don't think it's that we're wrong or that we're taking the wrong approach so much as we eat and bread is soon forgotten. We adapt very quickly to changes in our station in life. And all of the evidence is, you know, lottery winners, after a year, they're back at the same level of happiness they were previously. Or people who've suffered very, you know, serious amputations as a result of car accidents, they get over the downward adjustment after a few years. So I think we've adapted to this higher standard of living and now take it for granted.
So is our default setting of happiness more or less set irrespective of what happens to us?
I think it is, and our default level of complaining is also set, but sometimes we may overdo it and overlook just how lucky we are to have been born in Ireland. That if you know, if you were being born afresh and could choose which country on planet Earth to be born in, Ireland would be a damn good choice.
That's a very interesting perspective. Someone says, oh, for God's sake, please shut up. Suicide rates are at an all-time high. This government has overseen the widest acceleration of wealth inequality. This report amounts to propaganda. There will be a revolution soon. I'm not sure that there will, comrade, but, you know, God, who knows? What do you say to that? That the widest acceleration of health inequality, that is factually correct?
Well, if you look at the Gini coefficient, that's what the statisticians use to measure inequality. That has come down in recent decades in Ireland. Inequality levels have not worsened since the crisis. People argue that they have, assert that they have.
I've certainly had people in the studio arguing with me that they have.
Yeah, but when you look at the statistics, they argue that they haven't. And I would also argue that the station of somebody not well off in Ireland today, it is better than the station of somebody who was very well off 100 years ago.
Okay, so somebody poor in relative terms today is still probably wealthier than somebody wealthy 100 years
Correct.
Ago. That's interesting. But is it unreasonable for people, though, I suppose, to moan and complain and give out? Because unless we agitate, Cormac, unless we actually do sort of rattle our sabres or whatever as a citizenship, we could stagnate with the status quo. The politicians will say, well, if they're happy with everything, why should I do anything? Unless we say, no, we want a better health service. Unless we want to say, get the 700 of them off the trolleys. Unless we say, put roofs over people's heads. Then there's no impetus for our government to do anything. Isn't it sort of incumbent on the people to challenge the government and make things get better?
Things may be better than they have been in the past, but things could be even better if we got our act better together. And people are absolutely entitled to argue and lobby for constructive change. But I do think sometimes the tone is sometimes too relentlessly negative. You know, rather than focusing on change that people are proposing that would make things even better, they get a bit hangdog about how things are today. And really, things are pretty good today compared to any time in the past.
Pat and Bray says, Ciara, we are not a nation of moaners, but it is just that those of us who do moan an awful lot. Vince says, maybe Cormac should spend some time on a trolley. We need to stand up for ourselves. A lot's still wrong with the country. And that was sort of the point I was making to you. Do we not have the need to agitate? Because otherwise, how do you hold government to account? And somebody else says this: most of my peers are all very well educated with great jobs, but they live in smaller houses and older cars and further away from the cities than they used to. I'm happy but not wealthy. There is certainly a perception among a lot of people that I would know, Cormac, that they are working more for less. Certainly, I know we keep hearing that we're at the best point in the last, I don't know, 2 decades or something. But during the boom, during the Celtic Tiger, and maybe that's not the right time to compare us to, but during that time, people did seem to be wealthy in a way where they had a big disposable income, so they were driving cars and going on all the holidays. I don't see, even despite the stats, as much of that now. And I know people say the boom is back, but I don't see the level of spending still to this day among my peers that I would have seen 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
I think Well, I think two answers to that. Number one, I think if society makes progress, and we have been making huge progress, it's not the same as society fixing all human problems. And there's always going to be a load of human problems that we're going to need to address. And people have an absolute entitlement to raise those claims. Regarding people's lifestyles today, I think people are a bit more sober today and less exuberant than they would have been at the height of the Celtic Tiger. I think at the height of the
Celtic, maybe they have the same money, but they don't flash the cash in the same way.
Possibly, or they may be more focused on paying down their mortgage earlier rather than slowing down the mortgage repayment and enjoying life more today by having a weekend away in some Polish city whose name they can't pronounce or spell.
Is that because we got burnt? That people got burnt,
so.
And because of that, now they are more wary. They want to keep a bit of a buffer there, keep a few quid in the bank. Apparently, our savings now, deposit savings among ordinary individuals, outweighs our debt for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I think once bitten, twice shy. I think as humans, we learn and we adapt. So we adapt to good times and take them for granted, but we also learn from past mistakes and modify our behaviour.
Do you think that the way the Irish people talk about the government, and lots of people are getting it, someone says, absolutely right, Cormac, Ireland's one of the best countries in the world to live in. But somebody else says, June says, I'm guessing Cormac has health insurance and doesn't live in a council house. And Damien says, I think the Irish people have an opinion on everything and this can be misunderstood as moaning. In some other countries, people have very few opinions on anything. Ireland's not a bad place to live at all, but far from perfect. We can't negate the influence of being a post-colonial country, I don't think, on how we view government. I still don't think that we have a sense of ownership of the state and an ownership of government in the way that maybe the Germans do, for example. And I think that's because the government for a very long period of time was British, and we did look at it as, self and non-self. We still look at it that way, and we still talk about our government in a very disparaging way. We'd never have seen the crowds get behind any Irish leader here, I don't think, the way they did behind someone like Barack Obama when he came to power. That the Americans will show great enthusiasm for their leaders among certain sections of the populace. We don't have that at all. Is our moaning part of that? It's a part of that we like to knock the authority figures in our society.
Well, I think for a lot of people that we regard government as kind of a self-service shop where we should be able to go in and take things out without having to pay for them. And the more difficult we portray our situation, the more tickets we'll get to go into that government shop and take things out. So, the whole concept of an béal bocht, the poor mouth, that's an Irish concept. That existed long before modernity. And it's about talking yourself down in the hope that you can sort of gain some material advantage from it. So I think there's an element of that. And a lot of the sort of circular discussion we have in the public sector area, it's about running down things in the hope of boosting income going forward. Whereas you'd never have McDonald's workers issuing a dodgy burger count. They wouldn't conceive of it. They wouldn't conceive of publicly running down the service they offer in the hope of gaining advantage, because they'd probably be fired.
But is that not the argument that the INMO are making, that they want to improve not the perception of the health service the way maybe the workers at McDonald's would want to improve the perception of McDonald's? They want to improve conditions for the patients. Is that not what they're trying to do? Actually,
well, maybe
achieve something for the patients?
They should run a parallel nurse vaccination count. I'm a bit untrustworthy. I don't trust their bona fides. I think they're really aiming to boost their income under the guise of public spiritedness. But if they were really publicly spirited, they would look at the problems in their own nest first.
Okay. Lots of people getting involved, as I predicted that they would. Tommy says, hi, in the 1980s, one working class income will provide a house and a means for raising a moderate sized family. Two working class incomes today, go and emigrate if you want to start a family. My parents now in their 90s had a better income and quality of life than their 7 children. Take that fascist off, I presume. Well, it could be either of us, but I suspect it's you, Cormac. Someone else says, your guest has clearly never languished on a hospital trolley or witnessed another patient get out of their bed so his parents could get into it for an internal exam before passing the bed back to the original patient, as happened to my mother. That's an unusual story. Clearly, his has mental health, suffered from watching someone else raise your kids because you have to spend over 2 hours per day commuting to your low-paid job, or had to share a house with a pack of other adults well into your 30s. Mental health has taken a nosedive among the population at large, and anxiety disorders are commonplace amongst everyone from seniors to young children. This is the first generation who are less well off than their parents in this country. I'm all for appreciating what we do have, but don't patronise us. People's studies, struggles rather, are real. Is this the first generation who are worse off than their parents?
No, it simply isn't. And that's just a sort of a self-pitying whinge. There's no other way to describe it. There is no statistic that shows this generation is materially worse off than their parents. Yes, there are loads of problems. Problems in housing, problems in commuting, mainly focused as a result of poor public planning. So that people, we've low density housing and people have to live further and further away from activity concentrated in cities. And we've a government talking about it. We've had a succession, a carousel of ministers, Minister Kelly, Minister Coveney. Remember, they were the housing ministers. What the heck happened? So we're entitled to feel angry where there is inactivity and room for improvement. But I don't think we're entitled to bend the facts and suggest that we're materially worse off than we were ever before.
All right. Cormac Lucy, columnist with the Times and the Sunday Times. Thank you for that indeed. Last text I'm going to take on this. It says, Kira, we have more materialistically of what people think they want, but not always of what they need. Too many screen gadgets and ready-made meals and spending time online, always getting. Community and kindness and care for a neighbour is priceless. And yes, on nationhood, you're right. The EU nearly own our finances. And that's from Anya. Do let me know what you think. Is Cormac spot on? Are we a nation of moaners? Are we people who don't know that we have it good when we have it good? And is this all the bail booked?